Greetings, friends. I'm John Haspel. This is a recording of the seventh and concluding session from our Becoming Buddha Foundations of Mindfulness and Meditation Spring Retreat at One Dharma Center on May 20th, 2018. My talk and our Sangha discussion is on the Kakayanagata Sutta. This sutta is a concise teaching on profound right view and dependent origination. The Kakayanagata Sutta teaches the ultimate understanding of refined mindfulness, to be mindful of what is present, and, as importantly, what is no longer present. Information on our future retreats is available at becoming-buddha.com. All of these talks are based on the suttas included in my book, Becoming Buddha, Becoming Awakened. If you find benefit from this recording and to support future recordings, please consider a donation at becoming-buddha.com. Thank you. Peace.
I don't think there's anything else that we need to cover.
I think the Sangha just wants to cover a very big thank you to you, John.
You can't do this to me. I'm on the edge right now. I'm clinging and maintaining to composure. It's gone.
So, thank you so much for all you do.
Absolutely.
For all of us.
Yes. Thank you, John.
May I open it later? Cause
yes.
I'm not going to make it for the talk.
Actually, there's one more thing. I also want to thank you, Matt, for everything you've done.
Thank you.
Personally, you allowed me to reconnect with my body and my mind enough to even come here and get these teachings. So thank you, too.
That's true. This would not be happening if it wasn't for Matt. You know, I'm the one that's sitting up here, but he's the one that supports it, and always. Boy, I'm glad I didn't start this yet. So. Okay, folks.
Great opportunity to feel what's occurring in the body as emotions arise and pass away, as thoughts arise and pass away, as feelings arise and pass away. This is direct experience. This is felt. It's not mental.
These things, not conditioned.
It's not conditioned.
And it's totally appropriate.
Yes.
Thank you, Matt Branham, for all that you do. Peace, my friend.
Let's set mindfulness to the floor and meditate.
Our meditation session has been edited out. Guided shamatha vipassana meditations of various lengths are available at becoming-buddha.com.
So in the schedule it says that we're going to do two suttas. We're only going to do one. I'll leave the record for the next retreat. The Kakayanagata Sutta really is the appropriate sutta to end our retreats on, so that's what we're going to do. I've asked David if he would be graceful enough to share a synopsis of what he's learned, and he's been with us 6, 7 months, 8 months, if he would share what he's learned over that time, and the importance of what you've learned from our Sangha too, if you could. I don't mean to put words in your mouth. That's my job.
We all blubber.
I would not call that blubbering.
No.
No,
strained.
You got to work a little harder for blubbering.
I always dabbled in wanting to be spiritual. And I got as far as Free Tibet button that I stuck in my.
That'll do it.
As far as I got.
I've been part of a sangha that was all that they cared about.
That's
didn't take us very far. Altruistic.
Bought books, Dalai Lama, read the first 4 pages, never looked at it again, lied to her about meditating.
I don't remember that.
But and then record is doing. And you can see that she was crying. Whether it was bouncing, or maybe she'd start talking about, you need to come and see what's happening. You need to listen. And I was like, stop badgering it. I don't need any of this. I don't. And then I started reading and listening. Then the words, come and see for yourself. And that's what I wake up to every day now. And I investigate. And a student in me, I study. So instead of learning about Napoleon or Miles Davis or any number of things, you know, I deep dive into stuff. And that was good to learn. But then I also jam myself into a corner with various cushion. And I force myself to sit with my knees and my hips and my back. And I wedge myself in there and force myself twice a day, 20 minutes. And there's no mindfulness, there's nothing except grunting through it. But then slowly you relax. And I never did it for relaxing. It was never the point. I didn't get anything like that out of it. But then your concentration begins. And I remember meeting John for the first time. I said, I can't rush concentration. I can't rush mindfulness. But I can have right effort. I can have right effort. And I can understand right view. And you start putting things together. And the student in me also appealed to me that I wanted to learn about Anatta. Right. Easily, 5 books on it. Because the student in me wanted to understand it. It's one of those puzzle parts of the Buddha's teachings. Dependent origination, same thing. It's a puzzle. It's a puzzle until you start knowing each part when you hear a teaching from John about becoming or the sixth sense base or what Jen stumbled upon and then fell back out of and then she'll stumble back into it. You know, so it's just part of my nature. And 3 months later, here I am, you know, wondering why is this happening so quickly? And it's just, it starts integrating into your life. And then I decided to start coming to the Sangha. And the importance of that feedback. The importance when the Lord is not there. The importance when Ram conveys his history. Listening to Diane. All important aspects of that Sangha. I need to know the story of Kevin. I need to know it because we all got here somehow differently and converged here. And that energy is what I feed off of. And coming to the Sangha, I bring certain things. I bring a respect for the subject, a respect for John, respect for the members. That I'm prepared at not just reading John's article, but really trying to understand it, and then going home and learning more about it. And then it's integrated. And that, and again, though, I can't rush anything except I can give that effort. And every morning I wake up to the Siko. Come and see. There's no promises. There's no guarantee. But I know that that effort will bear fruit as far as understanding and having a deep, profound understanding of the three marks of existence. And then that concentration and mindfulness comes just naturally. I think I said it somewhere. It's a gradual journey for most people. It's not like that for everyone. It shouldn't be. So that's what I do. That's my practice. You know, John always says, "How's your practice going?" And I always think, well, it seems silly for me to be saying my practice is good. I mean, it is what it is, and it's growing, but it's a commitment. And that's where I'm at. And it's, I understand I'm a kindergartner in this whole thing. But so that's my practice.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for sharing that.
Okay. If one practices this type of mindfulness for 7 years or six or five or a few days or a few months. Again, the importance of this, and David and I have had a couple of conversations, and he expresses the importance of the Sangha better than I can, better than any of, I'm not better than you could, but he expresses it so wonderfully well. He mentioned about hearing Lorna on the tapes, and Mary and other people, Diane, all of us, and how important that was to him. That's important to me. I don't want somebody to say, "I heard you, and this is what you told me." That's not Dhamma practice. This is Dhamma practice. The Buddha didn't do it alone. The Buddha quickly developed a Sangha that supported the teaching, and that's the only way that he made it. He couldn't have done it alone, but he knew that he couldn't do it alone in a practical way. Because then it's just some old guy wandering around India telling you how to do it, which is what everybody else did. He built the Sangha. We built the Sangha here. I'm glad it's going to continue.
Take a breath.
There's something else. The other thing I didn't mention, I'm sure Matt would take care of it, but the Zafus and the Zabutans go back where we got them to. Yeah, I know you would have thought about that, but I'm still running the show until... I was never running the show, by the way. You were running the show. So again, I think I prefaced every sutta now, except the Nagara Sutta, to put it in the context, put this in the context of everything we learned. And you'll see this is another one of those suttas, but it's very clear in this, that the entire Dhamma is expressed. And so this is another one of those suttas that we could come back to again and again. And just, this would be one's right effort to use this as a way of establishing mindfulness. Okay. The Buddha was staying at Savatthi, at Jita's Grove, Anathapindika's monastery. The monk, Kakaya Yanagata, the last name is Gata, I said them pretty quickly, approached the Buddha with a question. "I don't understand right view. Can you teach me how right view relates to the world?" Kakayana, "The confusion and deluded thinking in the world arises from polarizing views." Look at the world today. "There is a view of permanent existence and a view of permanent non-existence. When the origination of confused and deluded thinking is understood and abandoned, from right view, it is seen that non-existence does not occur. Furthermore," and so the mind would say, "Well, if non-existence doesn't occur, then it must be existence, permanent existence does occur. Furthermore, when the cessation of confused and deluded thinking is understood and abandoned from right view, it's seen that permanent existence does not exist. Uh-oh, what does exist? The world is sustained by attachments, by clinging to conditioned thinking and wrong views rooted in ignorance of Four Noble Truths. That's a good example of how I've added something to the translation to make it clear that what we're talking about is in the context of the Four Noble Truths. That wasn't in the translation, but I think it needs to be, doesn't it? Well, whether it does or not, I'm putting it in. One who has developed right view no longer clings to attachments or fixated, meaning conditioned thinking. No one no longer clings to attachments or conditioned or fixated thinking. I said that twice. Or self-obsession. It is understood that stress arising is stress arising. Being present with what's occurring. And being, and in that sentence, the Buddha is describing being present with what's occurring and being mindfully present of what is not occurring or what's not existing. Simply, it is understood that stress arising is simply stress arising. It's not right or wrong. It doesn't need to be anything else. It can't be anything else. It is understood that stress passing away is stress passing away. When we're joined to our stress, even the passing away of stress is stressful, isn't it? In this, their knowledge is independent of other views. The Buddha's reinforcing the uniqueness of what he's teaching, not to elevate himself to any as a great teacher, to emphasize you need to let the other stuff go. My Dhamma avoids extreme views. I teach from the middle. I teach the Eightfold Path as the middle way that avoids extreme views. The middle way shows that suffering originates and is dependent on ignorance. And here is another. I said that the Buddha teaches dependent origination in many different suttas. This is one of them. From ignorance, and again my insertion into the translation, from ignorance of Four Noble Truths as a requisite condition come fabrications. From fabrications as a requisite condition comes consciousness. From consciousness, ongoing thinking rooted in ignorance, as a requisite condition comes name and form, self-referential views. From name and form as a requisite condition comes the sixth sense base. From the sixth sense base as a requisite condition comes contact. From contact as a requisite condition comes feeling. From feeling as a requisite condition comes craving. From craving as a requisite condition comes clinging and maintaining. From clinging and maintaining as a requisite condition comes becoming. From becoming as a requisite condition comes birth. From birth as a requisite condition comes aging, sickness, death, sorrow, regret, pain, distress, and despair. Such is the origination of extreme views and the entire mass of confusion, delusion, and stress. And like Jen and Kevin threshed it out, this occurs simultaneously. Or it happens so quickly. And I would say that it doesn't even need to be noticed. Initially, we develop an understanding as we progress. Just like the Buddha taught dependent origination. It wasn't the first thing he taught. Now, from the remainderless fading and cessation of that very ignorance comes the cessation of fabrications. Do you see how the chain is now falling apart? If there's no fabrications, then what follows is gone, is not present. From the cessation of fabrications comes the cessation of consciousness. From the cessation of consciousness comes the cessation of name and form, of self-referential views. From the cessation of name and form comes the cessation of the sixth sense base. From the cessation of the sixth sense base comes the cessation of contact. From the cessation of contact comes the cessation of feeling. From the cessation of feeling comes the cessation of craving. From the cessation of craving comes the cessation of clinging and maintaining. We're free. We're liberated. From the cessation of clinging and maintaining comes the cessation of becoming further ignorant. From the and then what is present is only the possibility to continue to awaken. From the cessation of becoming comes the cessation of birth. From the cessation of birth, then aging, death, sorrow, regret, pain, distress, and despair all cease. Dukkha is over. Such is the cessation of this entire mass of stress and suffering. So what is the noble truth of stress? Now this, monks, is the noble truth of stress. Birth is stressful. Aging is stressful. Death is stressful. Sorrow, regret, pain, distress, and despair are stressful. Association with the unbeloved is stressful. Separation from what is loved is stressful. Not getting what is wanted is stressful. In short, what? That's it. In this, monks, is a noble truth of the origination of stress, the craving that makes for the further becoming, accompanied by passion and delight, relishing now here, now there, craving for sensual pleasure, craving for becoming, craving for non-becoming. In this, monks, is a noble truth of the cessation of stress, the remainderless fading and cessation, the renunciation, the relinquishment, the release, the letting go of that very craving. And this, monks, is a noble truth of the way of practice leading to the cessation of stress, precisely this noble eightfold path. Right view, right intention, right speech, right action, right livelihood, right effort, right mindfulness, right meditation. We're done.
Thank you, John.
You all. What an amazing retreat. So, is there any questions? And I always say this: any questions, any comments, anything you'd like to say about our retreat? If there's anything you wish was different, keep it to yourself. If there's anything you wish was different, please tell me, and we can talk about it now, or if you want it in private, we'll do it afterwards. But this is your sangha.
I was disappointed it rained. Can you take care of that?
I disagree with your disappointment. I was happy that it rained.
I'll do what I can.
It was a beautiful rain.
It was. It really was. So I'm going to try to say something up there. I don't know what's going to happen. But I got it all in my head. Every time I go through it, I fall apart. So, the Korean word for thank you is, it's spelled with a G, but it's pronounced, well, it's kamsahamnida. It's spelled with a G, but the first letter is really a hard K and a soft G kind of put together. Kamsahamnida.
Kamsahamnida.
Kamsahamnida. Kamsahamnida. Kamsahamnida. Kamsahamnida.
Kamsahamnida.
But it said quickly, obviously. Kamsahamnida. So what I'd like to do is really make a dramatic show of it. And when we're done, we'll bow and say that. Great. Saying it all together, they're not going to know which one of us mispronounced it. So, meaning people where they are is important.
Right. Yes.
I'm not going to.
Maybe don't cling to composure, just like what you said.
I'm trying not to. And then I'd like some of you to say something too. If you're not comfortable, don't feel like you have to. I'm going to ask Matt to begin. And anything you say is appropriate. So it doesn't have to be as eloquent as your teacher's going to be. but I think that's important too. They do so much to provide this place. The next one. Mick Jagger said it was proficient. He was referring to the cow, and he said, "This may be the last time." Pardon me?
Did Mick Jagger say that?
Didn't he?
Yeah. Maybe the last time.
I don't know. Now
I can.
Thanks for that illumination.
This may be the last time. No, it's what a marvelous thing. Oh, what's that?
So we may also want to get out of the pasture.
Yeah. Well, it's a good idea. Yeah, not hang around
stop
too much.
Teasing the cows.
Too much, yeah. Don't tease the cow. Don't threaten the cows. But the cow's there. You know, and that's an important, that's another one of the most important suttas. You know? Take to it like your hair is on fire. Like David has, but I'm holding David up as an example, of what all of us has done. It's the short time frame is completely irrelevant. Like Jen said so eloquently, linear time is part of ignorance, and ignorance requires linear time. So whether it's 4 months, 6 months, one sutta, or 100 suttas like we've had this weekend, it doesn't matter. What's important is to awaken. What the Dalai Lama said, one thing that resonates with me, and you know I don't agree with a lot of what a wonderful man says, the purpose of time, think about it in the context of what Jen said, the purpose of time is to awaken. You could exactly say the purpose of ignorance is to awaken, to put it behind us. I can't stop teaching, I'm sorry. More to come. Let's blow this joint, huh?
John, do we have dates for the fall
retreat? I wanted to bring that up. Yes, it's the third week in September. I can't think of the dates right now.
The 17th, 18th, 19th?
No, then it's the next one. It's the first weekend that has the 20s in it. Whatever that weekend is. And so, you know, I'm not asking anybody for a commitment right now, but is there interest in a fall, early fall retreat?
Early fall retreat. You mean this retreat that you're talking about?
Yeah, in September. Okay. We have the dates, but since it's only 5 months away, I'll have to commit to it. I think about another 6 weeks, so. That's why I just wanted to know. I hope we continue to all come on retreats. Kevin?
Can we do the Carney and Ephesus?
Oh, thank you. That's the one thing I wanted to do. Yes. Find your relaxed meditation posture.
What do you think we did it last time in there? You read it. Is it too much for today?
I read it in where?
In the, when we said goodbye, you know.
I thought about it and I was a little bit uncomfortable, but I think it appears like I'm trying to teach them. They don't need me to teach them.
Can we practice that thank you word again?
Kamsa hamida.
Kamsa hamida.
You got to say it with purpose. Kamsa hamida. Oh, that's not thank you, no.
Kamsa hamida.
Kamsa hamida.
John, do you think this is a good idea?
Yes.
If it doesn't work, it's going to be embarrassing.
To you and all of us, but they'll appreciate it.
Oh yeah.
They will. I think they'll greatly appreciate
if,
it.
Well, if you.
You want me to just say it?
I like the group say it because they won't know who messed it up.
Yeah.
They'll
yeah.
just know that it sounds a little bit like thank you.
I'll just say it really loud.
So
right.
I'll stand behind you and mouth it.
Kamsa hamida.
Kamsa
hamida.
Kamsa hamida.
Kamsa hamida. I'm going to say
what? You're going to say what? What did you say, David?
What?
What's the word?
Kamsa hamida.
Kamsa hamida.
No, what was I
going to
say?
One time
better. No. Yeah, don't start saying that
because
I'm.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
You gotta say what? Guacamole?
The only foreign word I know.
That's a good way to
remember.
Okay, I've lost the word. What is the word?
That's it. Let's sing it.
Yes.
Yeah.
It helps to remember it.
It does.
Yeah.
Okay.
We could really put on a show.
We are going to put on a show.
a Dhamma talent show.
Yeah.
Saturdays on the table and she could just like.
That's an image you don't really need.
You're doing
the
best
thing.
First time
I've seen it. CRMC's
got it. It might just be a while.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
It's me too.
Last time I saw a table, I fell off.
Plenty of stairs.
Dance
comedy. Yeah. Cambridge, Massachusetts. Thank you,
what a bunch. What a sangha. Oh, God. This is what should be done by one who is skilled in goodness and who knows the path of peace. Let them be able and upright, straightforward and gentle in speech, humble and not conceited, contented and easily satisfied, unburdened with duties and frugal in their ways, peaceful and calm and wise and skillful, not proud or demanding in nature. Let them not do the slightest thing that the wise would later reprove. Wishing, in gladness and in safety, may all beings be at ease. Whatever living beings there may be, whether they are weak or strong, omitting none, the great or the mighty, medium, short, or small, the seen and the unseen, those living near and far away, those born and to be born, may all beings be at ease. Let none deceive another or despise any being in any state. Let none through anger or ill will wish harm upon another. Even as a mother protects with her life her child, her only child, so with a boundless heart should one cherish all living beings. Radiating kindness over the entire world, spreading upwards to the skies and downwards to the depths, outwards and unbounded, freed from hatred and ill will. Whether standing or walking, seated or lying down, free from drowsiness, one should sustain this recollection. This is said to be the sublime abiding. By not holding to fixed views, the pure-hearted one, having clarity of vision, being freed from all sense desires, is not born again into this world. Thank you all for a wonderful retreat.
Thank you, John.
And again, not to keep going, but Matt certainly needs a lot of thanks. Imagine a retreat without Matt.
Mm-hmm.
It would not be anything near what it is.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't.
Okay.
Imagine and thank you, Laura, for taking over most of Maura's role. Imagine a retreat without Laura. Thank you, Lorna, for taking up the other part of that and being a liaison and getting me here. I would have ended up in Montreal. Thank you. And as you've seen, if just one of you didn't make it, this would have been a completely different retreat. Each and every one of you contributed in an equal share to the whole. So again, thank you all. That's enough.
Kamsa hamnida.
Kamsa hamnida.
Thank you for listening. I rely on donations to support these talks. If you find benefit from these talks, please consider a donation at becoming-buddha.com. I welcome your questions and comments. To contact me and for guided meditations and instructions, Dhamma articles, recorded talks, and videos, please visit becoming-buddha.com. These talks are copyrighted and are distributed under a Creative Commons License 4.0. Peace.